Well, for years, consumer health technology has been criticised for overlooking women as customers, instead building devices for a default male consumer. Things, however, are starting to change. Women's health technology is a growing multi-million dollar market. And in recent years, we've seen a flood of period trackers, pink fitness bands, and pelvic health gadgets. The increased focus on women's health and well-being is seemingly good news, but concerns have been raised about the industry's health claims and privacy practices. Just last week, a Wall Street Journal investigation found one of the most popular ovulation trackers was telling Facebook when a user is having their period or intending to get pregnant. I don't know about you, but to me that sounds a little like a storyline from The Handmaid's Tale. So let's take a look. Ariel Bogle is a technology reporter with ABC Science, and she joins me now in the studio. Ariel, welcome to the Health Report.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Before we get to the Wall Street Journal investigation, let's first talk about women's health tech more generally. So what kind of apps are we seeing pop up in this space, and how many women are using them?
Well, it's hard to get clear numbers on just how many women are using this type of tech, but the stats from the Apple App Store and as well the Android App Store show that these apps are exceedingly popular and growing. There are a lot of period trackers. If you go to the Apple App Store at the moment, you can see immense number of free period trackers as well as paid ones. Then there are just general health apps around heart health, fitness, of course, people tracking their activity, their calories.
Okay, for women who are using particularly like these period tracking apps, I use one for example, and the information that you're giving is pretty sensitive. So it's not just your cycle. Some of them invite you to kind of divulge details of your sex drive, of your overall mood, your body temperature, measurements like that. How do we know what apps are sharing sensitive information with third parties?
Well, this is where this whole space gets messy. So there's been a boom in technology around women's health, and not just because women are 50% of the world's population, but also because you can make money off them, and money is also data. So a lot of the apps out there, especially free ones, do collect a lot of information about the health of the women wearing it, as you mentioned, when they might be having their period, their heart rate, other details that they're adding there. And you really have to read the terms and conditions or do a little research before you can fully get the picture of what they're doing with your data. So a lot of them will say, we absolutely protect your data, but in the fine print, they might say, we'll share some key indicators with third parties, whether it be advertisers, whether it be any other type of firm.
And we saw that recently with this Wall Street Journal investigation that I mentioned. So they were looking into some of the most popular health apps that they found were providing Facebook with some of that really sensitive information. I'm assuming that's for Facebook to use for advertising purposes. I mean, why would they be passing on that info?
It's interesting in this story. It's not clear that this data is being passed on for advertising, rather that a lot of these apps are using some Facebook analytics tools that help them figure out things about the app, whether it's working well, how many people are using it. One that's relevant here is called Flo's Health. It's a period and ovulation tracker. And it was apparently, according to the Wall Street Journal, telling Facebook when a user was having her period or informed the app of an intention to get pregnant. This information, Facebook says, shouldn't have been sent to that from the first place, and they were going to delete it, you know, take care of it. But okay. It does show the messiness of the back end of a lot of this technology. And it's really hard for users to know exactly what's being done with their data.
And it's interesting because I think most people know that Facebook is kind of harvesting really extraordinary amounts of data about its users. But I suppose what's surprising in this case is just how detailed and intimate some of that data is. Do you think we're kind of sliding down this scale of ever more intensive data mining in terms of the type of information we're handing over?
Yes, it's an interesting question because on the one hand, people like myself that write about technology or privacy advocates, people in the health space, are increasingly nervous about the digitization of health. But on the other hand, these apps are exceedingly useful. A lot of women use period trackers or health trackers to get grips on their health, a lot of the time that convenience of these apps really outweighs those privacy considerations.
Right. And the more data you give, I guess the more personalized it can be.
Exactly. The smarter versions of these period trackers and other apps, your experience improves the more you share with them. But I will say that I think a lot of governments, a lot of regulators aren't on top of this issue. And in a lot of cases, even in Australia, our laws are being completely outpaced by technology when it comes to health data.
Okay. And just lastly, as someone who's clearly very in the know in this space, is it a bad idea to be signing up to these apps? I'm using one of these menstrual trackers and I'm kind of rethinking that decision.
Look, personally, I don't use one. But okay. That's my personal paranoia, potentially. I would say I would advise against using free ones. If a product is free, you need to really interrogate the business case behind it, because almost undoubtedly they are taking your data and monetizing it in some way, or at the very least running ads. So for something as important and personal as a period tracker, I would perhaps advise looking at some of the paid options and weighing up whether it's worth paying for it. The other interesting thing about this whole picture around women's health is that we talk a lot about period trackers and fertility trackers. There's lots around based around getting pregnant or taking care of children. But there's a huge market out there for women that are not interested in getting pregnant or who may no longer even be getting their period, women who are going through menopause or postmenopause. So I think that the tech space is still neglecting a lot of women and a lot of women's experiences. So that's part of this picture too.
Ariel, thanks for joining me.
Thank you.
Ariel Bogle is a technology reporter with ABC Science. And you can hear more of Ariel on Download This Show this Friday. She'll be part of RN's all-female lineup for International Women's Day.